all the first part of the first chapter, that we are saved by God for a purpose, that we have been brought out of where we once were and now we are, as the title of this series. We are beloved, outcast, exiles, and scallywags. You're going to remember that word forever now. Because we're no longer citizens of here, but we're citizens of heaven, and we are awaiting when we will see God face to face. And in that meantime, we are called to live for God today, and sometimes that might mean that we are outcasts from society, and sometimes that might mean that society might see us as dangerous or scallywags. And today we are continuing on in this section that we're going into now. I've titled this sermon, The People of God, but we could easily title it what the main purpose is of this section, which is to proclaim the goodness of God. So we'll read the passage now, starting in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, and we're going to read until chapter 2, verse 10. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I have the control. Therefore, rid yourselves of all... Oh, did I go? There we go. All right. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. So the people of God, but we could title it to proclaim the goodness of God, or the people of God are to proclaim the goodness of God. When I went to acting school at Vancouver Film School, being downtown, there was one amazing benefit back then. I don't know what it is now, but it was dollar pizza for lunch. Not, you're shaking your head. $2, $3, $4? $4 pizza, oh my goodness. And we would go down to the dollar pizza place, and you'd walk in, and you'd have to line up. It was a small place, and you'd line up outside, and you could see the display case with all of the different types of pizza there, so you could look ahead and be like, I want that one, or I want this one. That one looks really good. And this place, particular place, happened to be run by Indo-Canadians, so they also had Indian food there. So they had samosas and pizza. And in this case, they had it said, you know, pizza $1, and then on the other side it said samosa, however, I can't remember how much the samosas cost. And my friend, who, or two friends that I went with, who are from the prairies, they're looking ahead, and we see this pizza on the top shelf there, right next to the samosas, and it looks really good. It's one of those ones with, like, the ranch sauce drizzled on top with all the meat and different. It's so good, and there was only, like, two pieces left, so my buddy who was in front of us was like, I'm getting those pizzas. They're mine. And he was so excited. He got up to the front, and he says, very smugly, very proudly, I will have two samosas, please. And then the person grabbed the bag and started putting the samosas in the bag. And he said, oh, and two of those slices of pizza, too. He bought the samosas. He tried them. He did not like them. I ate them. Now, here's the thing. He grew up in the prairies. He didn't know any Indo-Canadian people. And he was shaped by his experiences. I grew up in Surrey. I think they give you a samosa when you leave the hospital when you're a newborn. I knew what a samosa was. I was surprised that he wanted them. I thought, oh, that's interesting. He chose a samosa. He was so jazzed about the pizza. His experiences had shaped the way that he viewed that situation, the way that he viewed that word samosa. It shaped him. He had been shaped by to think that that was pizza because he hadn't experienced it before. Now I, growing up where I grew up, was shaped to know exactly what that was. And the same thing is true of us as the people of God. Not that we know what samosas are, but most of us here do. But that we are shaped a certain way because of our experiences in life. Whether we come to Jesus at a young age or an older age will affect how we see the world. And as we grow up in God, we are shaped to be more the way that He intends us to be. And that's what we see in this passage. As the people of God, we see that we are formed by being shaped by the Word, and we are built around Christ, and the purpose is to proclaim His goodness to the world around us. So we're gonna take each of those one at a time here and say that we are shaped by the Word. We are shaped by the Word. We read there in 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but out of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. We see that we've been born into a new life. And it's through hearing the gospel. It's through the Word of God, and it's imperishable. It's not going to pass away. It is eternal. And so we've been born again. And so the way that we are shaped is through God's Word. That in this passage it says that we are purified through obedience to the truth. Obedience to the truth that has been revealed to us through God's Word. And that Word is imperishable. That it is eternal. And so in this passage, we're told to love each other from a pure heart. We're told to love each other with genuine love. We're told to love in a way that is not characterized the way the world loves, which is oftentimes to get something, but to love without ulterior motives. We're instructed to sacrificially love one another. Not self-seeking, but seeking the benefit of those around us. That's how the Word shapes us, by teaching us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And in that, we're told that the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of God is eternal. This is a quote from Isaiah 40. And pretty soon, the grass is going to start to turn brown once they start giving us water restrictions, right? And we have beautiful leaves on the trees, but as we, I know now I'm starting to talk, it's barely even, it's not even summer yet, and I'm starting to talk about fall. But we know It was like rain on your parade a little bit, huh? Such a nice day. It's going to rain one day. We know that the natural way of the world is that the leaves are going to fall, the flowers are going to wither up, and they're going to pass away. Well, in the same way, worldly things change and pass away, but God's goodness, God's truth is eternal. We see that last week I talked about how we have this idea in 1 Peter that the traditions of humanity are empty. We talked about how in North Korea they have that fake city that they try to entice people to cross the demilitarized zone. Well, in a similar way, the ways of the world, the trends change. What society says is good often shifts and changes back and forth. Trends change all the time. We see that even just with the clothes that we wear. These pants, I really like. I got them a few years ago. They have a drawstring instead of, I don't have to wear a belt. It's fantastic. I went to go buy some more a few weeks ago. You know what? They don't make them anymore. Trends change. Things go away, but the word of the Lord is eternal. So we ought not be shaped by things that pass away, but shaped by the eternal word of God. And that means putting away worldly ways. It means putting away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. And this is something that we do when we come to Christ, but it's an ongoing thing because we're tempted to go that way. We're tempted to go the way of the world. We're tempted to respond sometimes if somebody says something about us that might be deceitful or slanderous, to respond in kind with deceit and slander. We are called to be shaped by the word, and so to respond differently, to put those things away, and to respond, as this book will say later, with kindness, which is not always easy. But we saw last week that we are called to be holy, and the people of God are a holy people. This passage repeats that again. And that means to be different. That means to not be the same as the world around us, but that we look different, that we behave differently, that these things like malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy and slander, we strive to get away from. Just like we said last week about being children of obedience, in that we're striving to be obedient, even though we're not always perfect at it, it's that we're striving to put these things away. And it also means that we're honest when we do fall into one of these categories as well. And then finally, it tells us to be like little children, to desire the word. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Paul uses a similar statement to say, you're not ready for the meat, so just have the milk. That's not really what Peter's saying here. And we can think that because some people debate it, but really what he's saying is our craving should be for, our desire should be for the Word of God, to be nourished by it, to come to it, to be nourished by the pure Word of God. So unlike the way Paul uses it, where it's more of like, do this first and then get to the meat. This is just, our attitude should always be to come and desire more of the word. The thing about babies is, they cry out for milk. Our daughter still cries, our youngest daughter, not the older one, still cries out for milk every morning. In fact, this morning, I went into the room to get her out of bed, and the first thing she said to me was, no. Anybody? Mommy. And then once she goes to mommy, she's like, I want milk. She doesn't say it in like full sentences, but you know. They crave it. They have a desire for it. And as the word starts to shape us, the more we have a desire for the word. And it also says pure. Pure, not corrupted by anything else, not mixed or contaminated by anything else. A couple years ago, there was a formula shortage for baby formula because there was a plant that that had been contaminated, so they couldn't use that formula. Why? Because contamination could lead to sickness or death. And it's the same thing if we contaminate the Word of God with the ways of the world. So we can't mix it with it with the world, and it's why we have to put away the ways of the world, and why the Bible talks so much about putting away the ways of the world. So what do? Well, we crave the Word and recognize that it's the way that we are shaped and grown. And we don't just read it, but we read it and carefully consider, how does this apply to me today? How do I walk this out today? What does it mean for me today to love my neighbor as myself? What does it mean for me today to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because we are to be shaped by the Word and not by the world. And if we're not careful, we will just be shaped by our environment. When I worked at Earl's years ago, I was having a conversation with someone one night, and he asked me what I had done on the weekend. I said, not much. I went to church. And he said, oh. I said, what? He said, well, you don't really strike me as a particularly religious person, which was actually a little upsetting to me. But when I think about it now, and when I even thought about it then, was I had been more shaped by my environment than by the Word. So the way that I carried myself, even the language that I used, wouldn't have been as biblical as it should have been. And you know what that led to? That led to the end of the conversation. That's what that led to, the end of the conversation. So we are to be shaped by the Word, not by the world around us, which means we will look different from the world around us, which means we will not look like people around us, which, as this letter gets at, it could lead to people thinking we're weird, or people in Peter's day getting persecuting the church because they were doing things differently that was outside the norms of the world. And last week I said we probably aren't going to see that kind of persecution, but we will see opposition. So, as the people of God, we are shaped by the Word, not by the environment that we live in. We're shaped by the Word. And that happens through coming to the Word, craving the Word, and taking time to really be in it, not just to learn the details, but to look and see, this is teaching me more about God and more about what it is to be in a relationship with Him, and then taking that with us as we go throughout our day, week, month, everywhere we go. The second thing is that we are built around Christ. As the people of God, we are built around Christ. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built. We are not building ourselves. God, through the Holy Spirit, is at work in us, building us into His house. An important thing about this section is, first of all, is that Christ went first. Christ, at the very beginning of this section, is identified as the living stone rejected by men but chosen and precious to God. He is the cornerstone, as this passage says in its quotes from the Old Testament. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation on which our community is built. He is the foundation on which our community was built. And what we have in view here is community. When we follow Christ, we might be rejected by people, but we are precious because of what Christ has done. So our identity is not found in the world, but found in Christ and what He has done. People can come up with all sorts of things to place their identity in, whether it's generally where they put their money, but whether it's social groups or even sports teams. Is anybody an Oilers fan right now? Some people might really be Oilers fans, I don't know. But people will put their identity in something. We all want to put our identity in something. And we can so easily go down that road, but our identity is first and foremost found in Christ. And we are a community, individual stones that are building a house. If we look out our windows, we see individual bricks that have built this house. If we pull one of those out, we don't want to know what's going to happen. The building could fall down, but we are individual bricks that fit together. Paul would say that we're like a body, and that each member has its function. And it's the same thing in a house. Each part of the house has its function, does its job to hold up and support the rest of the house. We are being built into a community of God. Why? Because we're built around Christ, to be identified around Him, with Him, and to support each other. Because when we go out into the world, we may face opposition, and when we have people that can pray for us, talk us through things, we are supported by that community. And we're given priestly access to God. We can enter His presence because we are a holy priesthood. Through what Christ has done, we have been made holy. In the Old Testament, there were degrees of closeness that you could get to God. You know, the Gentiles couldn't get anywhere near the inner courts of the temple, and the regular Israelites could get further in, and then the Levites had a little bit more access, and then the priests had a little bit more access, and only the high priest could go into the most holy place, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. We don't have those restrictions. We can go into God's presence today at any time. We can be in God's presence together. Because of what Christ has done, we have full access, not limited by restrictions around what type of person we are. If we are in Christ, we have access to God. And we're living sacrifices. Paul says to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is giving our lives in praise to God, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. It's the idea that you save me, I will give you everything. Has anybody seen The Count of Monte Cristo or read the really long book? In the movie that came out, there's one that came out recently apparently when I was looking at this, but there's one that came out in 2002. That's the one I've seen. When Jim Caviezel spares Luis Guzman's life. Now, those are the actors and not the character names. And Luis Guzman pledges allegiance to Jim Caviezel's character, basically saying, where you go, I will go. Your fight is my fight. Your mission is my mission. And that's what we say to God when we come to Him, realizing what He has done for us, that we were once, as this passage says, not a people. We were once outside of God. We were once condemned in our sin. And now through Christ's death, the punishment for sin has been paid. And now we've been brought into His family. We've been brought into His presence. And we say, your mission is my mission. Your fight is my fight. Where you go, I will go also. We are living sacrifices for Him. And this is all done through Christ's work. Not our own. It is Christ at work in us that shapes us and builds us into the people of God. To us who believe, Jesus is precious. But to those who do not believe, this stone, this foundation piece, Jesus, well, He's rejected. And He becomes a stone of stumbling for people because, as Peter says, they disobey. They disobey the word. They're not shaped by the word. They're shaped by the world because they don't know Jesus. But we are shaped by the word. We are built around Christ. We are the people of God with the purpose to proclaim God's goodness to those who have not been shaped by the word, who have not been built around God, to those who are outside of God. We are told in 1 Peter 2:9, You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession to proclaim the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We are priests. We are a holy nation to proclaim God's goodness. And what does it mean to be a priest? It means that we communicate the truth about God to the world around us, to the people around us, to each other even. A priest in the Old Testament, their job was, yes, to offer sacrifices, but if you go back and read the laws and the different things that the priests were involved in, they were involved in every aspect of Israelite life, declaring the truth of God in various circumstances. They weren't like the prophets later, they had this other role, but they were communicating what God's truth was to the Israelites. And that's what we are called to do as priests, to communicate the truth of who God is to each other and to the world around us out of pure love. And we're a holy nation. Israel was to be a holy nation. That verse that we are looking at is almost a direct quote from the Old Testament said to Israel, that our job is to be set apart. That's what holy means, to be set apart from the world around us, to be different. And Israel's job was to be different from the world around us so that the world could look in and see what it means to be in relationship with God. And that's in Christ what has been done for us. We've been set apart to be a holy nation, to be a people who, when people look in, they see something different. Not the same as the regular patterns of what's going on. People who have, in fact, been shaped by the Word and have built around Christ. We see this in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, it says, when it summarizes the activity of the church, it says they were winning the favor of all the people. Now, this didn't last because opposition came, but people were looking in and seeing there's something different going on here, and they could see something. And that's how we are to be no matter what opposition we may face. And it's to proclaim God's goodness, to proclaim His goodness. That's why we are priests. That's why we are a holy nation, to proclaim this truth that once you were not a people, but now. Once you were not, but now. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not mercy, received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's the story that we tell. Once we were not, but now we are. Once we had not, but now we have. We are the people of God, shaped by the Word and built by Christ to proclaim His goodness. And we do that, one, by sharing the gospel. Like the creed in 1 Corinthians 15 that said that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins, was buried and resurrected 3 days later, and then He appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and it goes on from there. We are to share what we've read in the Word, what the true facts of who Jesus is and what He has done as revealed by the Word. We are to share that with people. This week, on Thursday, I was driving Ray to school, and she was telling me about caterpillars. And she said, some caterpillars are poisonous. Now, I had told her this like a week before, just to be clear. And I said, oh, where'd you hear that? And she said, I just learned it. And she said, when you get old, you forget things. And then she said, you're old, and you're going to get older, and then you're going to die, which was... But then... it's a little bit, I was like, are you being prophetic right now? I don't know. I know that will happen. I said, but not for a long time, right? I was trying to figure out if she knew something I didn't know. But she then said, if you trust God, you won't die. You'll go to heaven. And she started telling me what she's learned about Jesus. Completely, honestly, with no pretense, with no sort of trying to word it in such a way that it would be acceptable to somebody. She's just laying it all out there. She's preaching the gospel to me from the back seat of the car on her way to school. But you know what they also have done, both Ray and Kyson? They like to go over to our neighbor's house and just knock on the door and talk to them. They're a couple that have grown children. They don't have grandchildren yet. I believe they love it. But one day, my kids knock on the door. They come to the door. They're talking to them for a few minutes. I always stand at the bottom of the stairs. And then Kyson just goes, "You go to church?" And she's like, "Excuse me?" And Ray goes, "Do you go to church?" It led to a bit of an awkward conversation, but kids, when they approach something, they don't approach it with any sort of tact, really. They just lay it all out there. And maybe that's not always the best way to do something, but there's something in that they are not afraid to share the truth of what Christ has done. They're not afraid to share whatever that truth is. So we are to share the gospel, which I would classify as the truth of what Jesus has done as revealed by Scripture. And then we can also tell our story. What has Jesus done in your life? As a youth pastor, I worked with a lot of youth who would say, "I don't have a testimony because I was born in church. I don't have a testimony because, you know, you get the, when I went to a Christian high school and every year they get the person to come in that would be like, you know, I was a mafia don and now I love Jesus." Like, there'd always be a wild story. That wasn't a real one. But there'd always be a wild story of drugs and alcohol and partying and all these things, and then they met Jesus. And it was almost like you have to have that kind of a story to really have a true testimony. That's just not true. Many of us probably know that. In preaching class, we had to share our testimony. We had to take 10 minutes to share our testimony. And the part where I met Jesus was right near the beginning, and it was one part, and then the rest of the story was all the moments of God's faithfulness throughout my life, which was up to my mid-30s at the time, but I would add to that. So our story didn't, God hasn't stopped writing our story. God hasn't stopped working in our lives from when we met Jesus. So whether you have one of those wild come to Jesus stories like you were a mafia don, anybody? No one's putting their hands up. Or you were raised in church and you didn't have that moment that it was more of a slow process of coming to Jesus. We all have a story of God being continually faithful in our lives today. I could talk about many different things, about God blessing us with children and all the processes there. And for time's sake, I'm not going to get into all of that, but we all have a story. And the final way is what this passage really gets at, which is to live God's way, to be shaped by God, built around Him, so that the way that we carry ourselves in the world is the way God would have us live, that we put away the ways of the world. I started telling you a story about me telling someone that I went to church on Sunday and him being like, "Okay, buddy." Shut down conversation. That didn't lead to anybody saying, "Oh, tell me more about this church that you go to and tell me more about this Savior of yours." No. Shut down conversation. Well, years later, when I left my job to go to Bible school, person who was relatively new to the restaurant said to me, "So you're quitting, where are you going now?" I said, "Oh, I'm going back to school, I'm going to Bible school, to go into ministry." And she just went, "That makes sense." She didn't know I was a Christian. She said, "That makes sense. You're not like other people here," which was wonderful to hear. "You're not like other people here." And I'm not trying to make myself into some sort of a hero, because I told you the villain part already. But that's the difference between being shaped by the world and identifying more with the world and then versus being shaped by the Word and identifying more with Christ. Perfect? No. But there was a change. And when we're shaped by the Word, when we're built around Christ, it's probably not going to come as a surprise to somebody when you say, I went to church on Sunday. And it may, like this one, open the door to an actual conversation where we got to sit and talk about what I believe, why I believe it, for a few minutes. Now, I think she just went about her day after that, but it started a conversation, and we can all do that. Because each one of us who have tasted that the Lord is good, well, as Rachel mentioned, my son saying, are you coming? We can all say, come and see, taste that the Lord is good. And I'll tell you why, because I've tasted it. We are the people of God, shaped by the Word, built around Christ to proclaim His goodness through sharing the gospel, sharing our stories, and living for Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the truth revealed in your Word of who you are and what you have done. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of the world, made us priests and a holy nation. And I pray that each one of us would be shaped more and more each day by your Word rather than by the world around us. I pray that we would not find our identity in worldly things, but our identity in you, and we would be like living stones built around you as a community that supports each other in our walk with you. And I pray that we would not be afraid to proclaim the goodness of you who have called us out of darkness and into the light. I pray that you would help us to walk for you, to live for you each and every day, so that it would never be surprising when someone finds out that we're a Christian. Pray that it may shut down conversation at times, but I pray that more often than not, it would at least lead to some level of us being able to share the truth in whatever small way that might be at that point. I pray that you would give us the boldness and courage to do so. To proclaim your goodness to the world around us. To say, taste, and see that the Lord is good. We love you so much. We thank you that you first loved us and called us out of darkness into the light. In your name, amen.
To the water, all who are thirsty, come and drink. Come to the table.